Welcome. Welcome to Sunday School at Grace Baptist Church, our weekly Bible study prior to the pastor and his messages. Today we want to speak on, preach on, bring the Word of God on a holy and royal priesthood. A holy and royal priesthood. We get that title from the following verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. Coming to Him, coming to Christ, a living stone, rejected indeed by human beings, but chosen by God, precious. You also, Christians, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. For what reason? For what purpose? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter goes on, but you, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own people, God's own people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, refers to Christians as priests of God and of Christ. There is a scriptural path that leads to Christians as a holy and royal priesthood. This path begins in Genesis chapter 14, where we see the first holy and royal priesthood mentioned in the scripture. Genesis chapter 14. We will be going to Leviticus, but right now, the book of Genesis chapter 14. Give you a bit of a narrative here, and then to what we want to really look at. Abram, before he was named Abraham, Abram heard that his brother, and this is actually talking about his nephew, Lot, Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He was taken captive by captors, and Abram overcame the captors, and so he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Now, after that occurrence, we see the appearance of this individual. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him. Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all the spoil he took in rescuing Lot and his family. The next specific mention of this particular royal priesthood is found in Psalm 110, verses 1 and 4. We're going to look at in Psalm 110. King David speaks of God the Father addressing God the Son. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, says God the Father to God the Son. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And as we saw in Genesis, that order includes being a king and a priest. For more revelation of this priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, we're going to rely upon apostolic authority found in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 7. Again, I prefer that you listen and learn. You can always go back to these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 7. Listen very, very closely. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now listen to the description of this Melchizedek. First being translated King of Righteousness. Folks, there's only one who deserves that title. And then also King of Salem, meaning, this is the significance of King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Folks, there's only one who can be called the King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy. How in the world can this be anything but a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ? Humanly speaking, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God. Now listen to these last words here. But made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. There's no end to this individual. He remains a priest continually. Now, consider how great this one, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Yes, not only is this the better, this is the best. This is, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, mortal men receive tithes. Men that die receive tithes. But there, the word there means in that place. And that means going back to Melchizedek receiving the tithe from Abraham. But there, he of whom it is witness that he lives. Did you hear that? If this one who gave tithes to Abraham lives, who else can it be? But the one who died and lives forevermore, Jesus Christ. Following the appearance of Melchizedek, until Christ came in his humanity, God instituted the Levitical priesthood through Moses. The brother of Moses, Aaron, and the sons of Aaron were the first priests. Of course, this was done only among the people of Israel. These priests were commanded by God through Moses to perform animal sacrifices to cover the sins of the people. Of these, now listen to this, overwhelmingly important to this study, these priests were the only ones, these priests alone were the only ones who, of these animal sacrifices, were allowed to have a portion as their food, which they ate. In addition, they were allowed to partake of the grain offering and consume it as their bread portion. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture now that we're going to come back to towards the end of the message. Bank this for right now, and then we're going to look at it extremely closely as we close. I'm looking at Leviticus chapter 10. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, something that wasn't prescribed by God, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. It's a fearful thing to be in the hands of the living God, folks. He's a consuming fire. And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings made by fire to the Lord and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord. For so I have been commanded. Remember, this is Moses speaking. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, now listen to this, and your daughters. You, your sons, and your daughters with you. For your due and your sons' due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute. Now listen to this. Forever. Now, God, when God says forever, he means forever. Bank this. Bank this. These portions that they partake of the sacrifice, they are to partake of it as a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. These physical actions, which prove to be types of spiritual activities, the partaking of that food, that bread, that food, these are physical actions which prove to be types of spiritual activities which can be performed by Christians, and by Christians alone, and no others. Now let's consider 1 Peter 2:5 once again. Referring to Christians, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, just what spiritual sacrifices do all Christians offer as priests to God? Now, this includes female Christians, as we've seen in Leviticus chapter 10. This will be crystal clear as we look at these spiritual sacrifices. Of utmost importance concerning spiritual sacrifices is that they must be offered willingly from a heart of love for God. Folks, we can't just perform services, rituals. These are activities that we partake in from the heart, willingly, and from a heart of love for God. I've read this before to you several times. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Not with eye service, which means you just want to be seen. Not with eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as the priests, doing service as to the Lord and not to human beings. Now, let's look at specifically some spiritual sacrifices God speaks of in his holy scriptures. The psalmist says this to the Lord in Psalm 116, verse 17. One of the people of God says this to the Lord in the psalm. I will offer up to you as one of your people, Lord God, I will offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Remember, this sacrifice of thanksgiving is an offering unto God, as we see in 2 Chronicles 29:31, King Hezekiah said to the people, now you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord. You see, there's a final commitment of faith here. Consecration. Final commitment of faith. Giving ourselves to the Lord God. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. As Christians, our thanksgiving to God from the heart is a part of our service to God as a holy priesthood. And remember, our service is genuine, coming from the heart of love for God. Now, I want us to look a bit further into spiritual sacrifices as we've just looked at thanksgiving. In Hebrews chapter 13. Listen closely now. This is very specific. We need to examine ourselves. Just what are we about doing as priests of God today? Hebrews chapter 13, reading at verse 15. Therefore, by Him, by Jesus Christ, let us continually, did you hear that word? Continually, presently, continuously, offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, now what is he? Praise? What? That is the fruit of lips giving thanks to his name. The lips and the tongue are both terms referring to what comes from our mouths by way of speaking. These terms are pointing out what we say. What's coming out of our mouths? What are we saying? If I love the Lord God, your heart, my heart, will cause praise and thanks to come forth. It's irresistible. It's who we are. As Christ proclaimed, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34. Now, you know, it goes on here. These references we've looked at are sacrifices made unto God, where there's a bit of a turn in the very next verse where it says, but do not forget to do good and to share. I think the King James there says to communicate, to give unto others of what we have. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You see, we remain in the service of God by doing good and sharing with others. We're priests unto the Lord. Now listen to this one. We go specifically to another sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Our next sacrifice done in service to God is our exercise of a gift that God bestows upon those appointed to be priests under grace and not the Levitical law. Philippians 2:17 speaks of, listen now, just a few words here. Philippians 2:17 speaks of the sacrifice and service of our faith. The sacrifice and service of our faith. Listen. Our exercise of believing into Christ is our offering back to God what he gave us in the new birth. We offer this sacrifice continually, just like our thanks to and praise of the Lord. For indeed, those who are justified live day by day, continually, by the faith of the Son of God. Only, listen, only a holy priesthood is equipped by God and appointed by God and called by God to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. All God's true people are ministers of a priesthood that continually offers thanks, praise, and faith in the service of the only true and wise God. Now, is that true of you and I? In addition, as we've seen, they must be careful to do good and share with others in the realm of humanity, and especially among the household of God, the church. Before we finish, let's not forget our tabernacle, a temple, the dwelling place of our individual, yours and mine, our individual spirits, and of course, the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:1, Paul the Apostle says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, your reasonable service. Christ offered himself, did he not? Body, soul, spirit. This is language meant only for a holy and royal priesthood. A priesthood made holy and royal by being united to, one with, the holy servant, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, I pray that you've listened to what we've said thus far, but if you haven't, please, please listen closely to what we close with. Finally, let's close with something again. Only the holy and royal priesthood can partake of. Now remember, I told you to bank what we read in Leviticus chapter 10. We're going to go through it again. We're not going to read again about Nadab and Abihu being consumed by the judgmental fire of God, but we want to read again concerning the grain offering, the bread, and the offering of the flesh. And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offerings made by fire to the Lord and eat it. without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place because it is your son's due, your due and your son's due of the sacrifices made by fire to the Lord. For so I have been commanded. God instructed Moses to give them these commandments. The breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering you shall eat in a clean place, you, your sons, and your daughters with you. For your due and your son's due are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh and the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever. And folks, he means a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. This priesthood that we just read of here was a figure. It was a type of the one to come. And this statute would be fulfilled in the holy royal priesthood, whose food is Christ. Christ is the grain offering, the bread of life. Christ is the sacrificial Lamb of God, from whom we get the breast and thigh for the priests. We, as the people of God, may partake, indeed are commanded to partake. We may eat of Christ. Spiritually, unto eternal life. He sustains us eternally. We consume him continually. But listen, none other may do so but a holy royal priesthood. Who are you and I? Are we members of a holy royal priesthood? This is overwhelmingly important because, again, none others may spiritually partake of Christ but a holy royal priesthood. Amen.